Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on the air. I'm on the air an hour and a half later. Somehow things got a little bit screwed up, but we're going to try and straighten it out. So this is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago on the Wilder Network, the internet radio. I hope we can make it through this without having any internet problems. Of course, you know the internet reaches all around the world, in some aspects more so than over the air radio. You know, I mean, radio is radio. And there's a lot of radio hosts out there. You have to applaud them. I mean, some are good, some are not so good. But you have to applaud them out there. And all the radio hosts out there, whether internet radio or over-the-air radio, public radio, we're all vying for basically one thing. And that is listenership. Because we know that that's going to catapult us to higher heights is listenership. And, you know, I'm like I said before, I'm on an hour. Things like that happen every once in a while. Sometimes you have this set schedule and all of a sudden you have to move it up or move it back because of this or that. And you're hoping that your listeners follow you, and you're hoping if someone misses the show because they didn't know that my show was being moved up or moved back an hour just for that particular day, you know, I won't apologize. You know, like I said before, if you're not listening live, you can always archive the show. It's always archived. It's always recorded. You can always find my show on blogtalkradios.com/ George Wilder Jr. And that's it. I mean, and archive it and listen to it later. Listen to it at your convenience. This is Thursday night. Somehow we got past the 4th of July. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. We got to go out and see some fireworks, and it was fun. And I think my son, I think he really enjoyed it. I think he was kind of surprised because, you know, I guess he thought I was kind of boring, but he realizes that I'm kind of, I can be an exciting dad. I can have fun. I can be a fun person. I'm pretty sure he knows that by now. Maybe. Anyway, this is George Wilder Jr. broadcasting live from Chicago. I'm in my studio near the lake, Lake Michigan, right about a block or two away from this studio. It's always fun to be by the lake because it's always cooler by the lake. It can be 80 where you are, but by the lake it'd be 70, 65 or something like that. It's always cooler. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not so much of a good thing. Depends on the weather. All righty. Okay. Let's see. Things in the news, things that happened during the week, and like I said before, this is I live in Chicago, Illinois, the state of Illinois, the state here. It's a wonderful state. It's a wonderful city. But we have a jackass of a governor. Totally. And I have to keep mentioning this guy because he is trying, or he has destroyed the state of Illinois. He's going after state workers. I mean, he's trying to act as if he's negotiating with them to make their lives and their jobs better. He's got to think that we're the fools from way back when. Rauner is not out to make anybody's life better. He's out to sound like he's making your life better by making your life worse, especially state workers and these social programs that are need of funding. Because, like I said in a few other shows, people are scared to death that they're going to get thrown out of their apartments, they're going to get thrown out of the nursing home or the mental health centers or the daycare centers because the funding has stopped, because Rauner does not want funding to happen. Because if he wanted funding to happen, he would have signed those many, many funding bills that the Democrats put on his desk. He refused to sign them. He vetoed them. He once promised that the state workers were going to get paid. They didn't get paid. Now he's got a bill on his desk saying that they should get paid. The guy is a liar. We don't know where he came from. He's a weird, strange kind of a guy. He really is. I mean, I was checking the news, the Sun-Times website. This is a newspaper in Chicago. And this great big photo of him, this is a great big photo of him, you know, coming out of his office. I believe this is the State of Illinois building, coming out of his office, in front of his office. He's walking up to a microphone. And he's all by himself. There's no one around him. There's no one in back of him. Usually when a politician walks up to a microphone to say something and the television cameras are there, usually he has a lot of people flanking him, in back of him, on the side of him while he talks. Rauner didn't have anybody. He was there all by himself, all by him lonesome, came out to the microphone. And I'm saying, this is weird. I've never seen this before. Usually when a politician comes to a microphone to address whatever he has to address, there's people all around him, people, women, men all around him, flanking him as supporters. He didn't have anybody. He was just standing there like a stick, all by himself at a microphone, threatening the Speaker of the House, Mike Madigan, blaming everything on him, Rauner sounding mean and nasty and like a dictator, and like the dictator that he is. I don't listen to anything this man says. He's got his surrogates going around town trying to explain things, this or that, that or this. But what they're trying to do, they're trying to change the status quo in the state of Illinois. And to change that status quo to a negative, not positively, but change the things in this state in a negative way. It's just not right. It's just not right. And I'm just now hearing and seeing that the state Clare County judge orders to give Munger, that's an appointee of Rauner's, the okay to pay state employees. She has been ordered by a judge to pay. So these guys will get paid. Okay? This has nothing to do with Rauner. This has nothing to do with the Illinois legislature, because these guys, they're not seeming to wanting to do their jobs, the jobs that they get paid for. They're fighting each other. And I'm on the side of the legislatures more than I am on Rauner, if you've been listening to the show at all during the last week or so, or 2 weeks. I've been in his ass. I'm not the only one that's been in Rauner's ass. It's a lot of people around this state that's jumping the hell this guy. He is so unlikable, it's totally unbelievable. I mean, I've seen him sitting in a conference office one time. He's the governor. I've seen him in a conference room with other lawmakers. And he was sitting at the table. Nobody was talking to him. Nobody was sitting next to him. He was sitting in the chair all alone by himself. You know what? I think he prefers that way. I don't think he likes people. I don't think he's a real sociable guy. What I think is he's listening to other billionaires and millionaires like him and telling him to stay the course in stepping on working and vulnerable people in the state of Illinois. He has their ear, but he doesn't have the ear of grassroots people. He doesn't have the ear of the middle class. He doesn't have my ear. He has my ire, but he doesn't have my ear. You know, this guy is really, really not good for Illinois. And I don't think, like I said before, I think if he goes out, he's going to go out in handcuffs. Now, the state is still shut down as far as I'm concerned, even though they're not saying a shutdown. In some areas, the media is saying a partial shutdown. But let me put it this way. This has never happened in Illinois before. This guy is a jackass, and he likes being a jackass. He doesn't care if you don't like him. He doesn't care if you hate him. He wants what he wants when he wants it. He, like I said before, he got his surrogates going around all around Illinois on TV lying for him. And they sound good doing it. But we know, the people of Illinois knows what's really happening, and we know who to really blame, because if this guy wasn't voted in office or bought the office of governor, I wouldn't be sitting here talking about this. But I live in the state of Illinois. I'm on the radio. I have a microphone, so I can say what I want to say. I'm a voter. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a parent. I have a right to say, criticize anybody. I am not a Democrat. I am an independent. Okay? All right. But I am nowhere near a Republican. I don't even say the word around me. But I mention the word Republican so much because these guys are just trying to run us out. They're trying to run us out. They're trying to do us in. This is why from now to probably 2016, if I'm able to stay on the air, I'm going to be vowing for people to get out and vote. Get these guys out. Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, he bought the office. And one of the reasons why he's in office, because liberals and progressives did not get their asses out to the polls. There is no excuse for that. Don't tell me about your religion or some other beliefs that keep you from going to the polls and voting and doing your due. Because the minute something goes wrong financially in the state or economically, you're going to be a part of it. Let me get back to Rauner. Rauner is taking a hit for everything that's happening in Illinois right now. And he's trying to deny it. He's trying to throw the blame somewhere else. He's the governor. Whatever's happening in this state, he takes the blame. It's on his watch. He cannot blame Madigan. He cannot blame Cullerton. He cannot blame any other politician. The people are going to blame him. It's under his watch. Just like Obama. If something happened in the United States under his watch, people are going to look at Obama. It's, even though he had personally nothing to do with it, but it's just happening while he's the president. This is happening while Rauner is the governor. So this is under his watch. He takes the full fall for this. He's out there forcefully trying to blame other people. He's saying other people trying to blame him are the citizens of Illinois, and we are getting in Rauner's ass because he wants to destroy this state. Now he's going vehemently after workers, state workers, asking them to pay less, to take less, and have less, and get less. He's crazy. The guy, like I've said before, if you go back and archive any of my earlier shows from a week or two, 3 weeks ago, you will see that I've said Rauner cannot run anything. He couldn't even run his nursing care businesses. They went under. They had taken him to court for that. Now he's got his hands on the state of Illinois, and he's taking it to the court. And he's taken his state down the toilet. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Chris Brown Talk, Take Charge of Your Life, and on the George Wilder Jr. Show. So we're going to have that. It's a clip of Les Brown. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Les Brown. Then I'll get back to Rauner because the state is shut down, and I'm pretty sure that the state workers are pretty happy to knowing that they're going to get their paychecks. And like I said before, they're going to get their paychecks through no doing of Bruce Rauner, because he has these bills on his desk, and that's a damn shame. Like I said before, anytime you messing with someone's money, you're finished. You're through. There are lawsuits all over, everywhere. Everybody is suing this guy. If I was a state worker, I would be there suing his ass too. Look, man, I don't work for my check. That's my money. I got bills. I got a car. I got a house. I got a blah, 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 blah. Why are you messing with my paycheck? He's a bully. The man is a straight-up bully. He's a straight-up liar. He should not have been in office. He never had an office before. A lot of people are calling him a rookie governor. And they're saying it with disdain on their face. They're not smiling when they say that. I mean, a lot of people in this state are just pissed the hell off. And I don't blame them. The guy he has no business being the governor of Illinois. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's too extreme. He's too far to the right. This is a state of people. We're not robots. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's very unliked, but apparently he doesn't care because he's going to stick to his whatever he's sticking to. I don't see how you can really govern a state when you are so disliked by the masses of the people of that state. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Let me get back to Les Brown. Les Brown talks, like I said, I have a clip of him actually on the show, but there's a clip of him, and I think it's a clip on being positive and taking charge of your life. And we're going to get to that real soon, okay? So stick around for that. Okay, getting back to Munger, she's going to pay people. St. Clair County judge issued a verbal order Thursday authorizing the Illinois State Comptroller to pay employees their full wages as the budget stalemate in Springfield continues. Okay, but the downstate ruling clashes with a Cook County judge ruling from earlier this week. Okay, her name is Comptroller Leslie Munger, said Thursday that she thought the St. Clair ruling was clear. That means she's going to follow up and pay these people, pay these employees. And you know what? They're not done with Rauner. I mean, you got how many state employees in Illinois? Maybe 60,000, 6,000, 60,000, something like that. But anyway, they're in the thousands. And every one of them are pissed off at Rauner. I mean, you got people who work for the city of the city of Chicago, firefighters, police officers. And he's trying to strip them of their pensions, pay less in their pensions, strip them of their pay, strip them of their unions, and all of that. He's trying to do that. And then they're going to say he's trying to offer them an olive branch or something. This guy is nuts. He's trying to hurt everybody, not only elderly, disabled children, the mentally ill. He's hurting everybody in this state. I mean, even if you making a $60,000 or $70,000 a year, he's hurting you too. He's hurting everybody. If you're working, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hit. They're talking about higher taxes. to pay help pay for the pension, teacher's pension. You know what? It's a mess in Illinois. The schools are in trouble. We don't know if they're going to open. They're talking about maybe 50 or 60 students in a classroom. This is real talk. They're saying that the teachers will not get the money to buy supplies for their students, or that the principal will get enough money from the city, from the state, to hire teachers. They would need to hire teachers if they didn't lay them off or fire them. You know what? It is a mess in Illinois. Rahm Emanuel has his hand in a lot of mess, too, when it comes to schools, pensions. You know, I mean, if these guys work together, I don't think neither one of them like each other. They're always disagreeing and saying things about each other. And the General Assembly in Illinois, they're calling each other's names. But like I said, I'm not with Rauner one bit older of iota. No, it ain't happening. It is just not happening. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break right here. I'll be right back. Stay with me. Stay with me. This is George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY. Be right back. Thank you. Hey friends and fans, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. You know, it costs a lot to keep this show airing. It takes time, preparation, and dedication, and most of all, it takes revenue. If you would like to donate to keep this show on the air each and every day, just about, go to www.georgewilderjr.com. That's www.georgewilderjr.com to help keep this important show on the air. Donate for a good cause. The cause of this show, my show, your show. This is the talk of our times. Thank you very much. All right, thank you for holding on. Okay, I'm gonna try and interpret some of this article about Bruce Rauner. Like I said before, there was a photograph of him coming out of his office, and there was a microphone. He approached the microphone. He was all by himself. No one. I never seen that before until this guy got in the office. Usually politicians have people flanking them all around them while they're at the microphone. This guy was all by himself. Why is that? Because nobody likes him? I don't know. But anyway, the title of the article was, Is Rauner's Offense? Rauner's Offense is a Strong Defense. Standing in front of his office, like I was just saying, in the state capitol, Bruce Rauner, okay, it's a state capitol. I said it earlier that it was a Illinois building, but they're saying it's the capitol. Bruce Rauner on Wednesday aggressively laid the blame for the state's budget stalemate on House Speaker Mike Madigan. Now, that's not right. He can't come in. Madigan is a seasoned politician, Mike Madigan. Everything he wants, I mean, he's been in there for, he's been the House Speaker for about 20, 30 years, as long as I can remember. And he's won everything that he ever challenged, went after. People tried to, get him thrown out of office. He won. What makes Rauner think he's going to win this one by lying on this guy, by blaming this guy? This guy is drafting bills to pay the state's bills. He's trying to pay the bills that Rauner does not want to pay, but Rauner is blaming him because Madigan will not adopt his turnaround agenda, which is term limits, more cuts on top of cuts, which I don't blame. And he's forcefully going to the cameras and blaming Mike Madigan. The guy is a bully. If you should hear, him talk. I'm going to play a clip of him one day on this show and let you see for yourself how much of a bully that this guy is. He's a bully. He's like the guy you meet in the playground, he's trying to lay all of this at the doorstep of Mike Madigan, and he dared him. He's picking on him. He's talking about him. I dare you to do this, Mike. I dare you to do that. He's trying to pick a fight with this guy. You know why? The reason why I said this before, you know why Bruce Rauner is trying to pick a fight with Mike Madigan? He wants Mike Madigan's power. Mike Madigan has a lot of power. He actually has more power than Bruce Rauner because the Democrats control the legislature of Illinois. Rauner doesn't control nothing but the governor's office. That's it. And to get things done in Illinois, you have to work together with each other. You have to compromise. Rauner doesn't want to do that, but he's going to lie and say Madigan doesn't want to do it. Madigan wants to work with him. But Madigan and Cullerton knows that this guy is a freshman governor. He's a rookie governor. He doesn't know what he's doing. So he's going to try to use bully tactics and lies and have his surrogates go on television and lie for him. And that's all that's happening. He wants to break down. He wants Illinois broken down on its knees. And he's never ran anything in his life. We as a people of Illinois, we cannot let this happen. I don't think this guy, I think governors have a 6-year term, I believe. Okay? I don't think this guy is going to make out his term. I don't think he's going to live out his term or complete his entire term as governor. I think they're going to be carrying this guy. I actually think they're going to be carrying him out in handcuffs because what he's doing is not only unconstitutional, it's breaking the law. He's a bully. He's a straight-up bully. Speaker Madigan needs to make a decision. This is Rauner's talking. Oh, wow. Just pass a spending bill with no revenue to support it, then go away and start laying the blame. Oh, he's saying that he starts laying the blame. If Madigan is laying the blame, he's doing right laying the blame at the doorstep of of Bruce Rauner. And Bruce Rauner is the blame. He had those bills on his desk and he didn't sign them. He is really extreme. He's an extreme guy. He's all the way. I think he's far right than the right is farther to the right. He is a Republican and a half. And this has never been, Chicago, Illinois has never been a Republican town. Oh, you got some suburbs a few suburbs that are Republican. But I'm pretty sure the Republicans who voted for this guy are having second thoughts. They had no idea that this guy was going to hurt the elderly, the sick, the maimed, the mentally ill, the children, the disabled. They had no idea he was going to do all of those crazy things. Stop the paychecks of all of state workers. He wants term limits. He wants to cut everything there that there is to cut. He's going after pensions. I mean, he's going after everything and try to cloud it up with conservative talk or conservative reasoning. We're the dummies. We don't know, right? We should believe everything he say and everything his surrogates are saying on television and radio. I don't know. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Yeah, it's pretty cool for summer. 64 degrees here, 8 o'clock straight up. Like I said before, I'm on a little later than usual. Usually I'm on at 6 o'clock, but for some reason, I came on around 7:30, and we have to figure out why. But anyway, this is George Wilder Jr., George Wilder Jr.'s show, and I have Les Brown on the show. Not on the show, but a clip of him talking about being positive and being, you know, I'm gonna tell you something about Les Brown. Me and Les Brown. My first book was about Les Brown. Wait a minute. I think I've lost something here. Let me see. Did I lose it? Okay. Let's see. Okay. I can. Did I lose it? Okay, leave this page, stay on this page. Les Brown. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm having some internet problems. Let me see if I can't do this again. Okay, all righty. Yeah, I was talking about Les Brown. Thank you. We're back. Had a few difficulties, but we're back. I don't think they were serious, but, you know, you expect that kind of thing. Okay, Les Brown is a motivator. He's a motivator, and actually he motivated me years ago. My very first book, Derek Sweat Sings the Blues, came out because of Les Brown. I never knew Les Brown, okay? I never knew him. That's not to say that he wasn't a good... I read his books, though. He had these motivational books, and I read one of the books. And the book that I was reading that he had written talked about being the best you could be. If you wanted to write a book, write a book. If you want to be a lawyer, be a lawyer. If you wanted to be a doctor, become a doctor. You know, he was a motivational speaker. And that encouraged me to write my first book, even though I've always wanted to write it. But he gave me more courage, basically saying you can do anything you want to do. Just put your best foot forward. And I've always been a fan of Les Brown because he's a great motivational speaker. He's a super guy. And this was years ago. And I ran across this clip of him, and I thought I would want to share it with my audience. And I'm going to do that. So as soon as I come back, and we come back, you're going to hear the great Les Brown. And I hope he does something positive for you in your life just by listening to him. He's a great guy. He's a wonderful guy. I've never met him in person, but I would love to do that one day. Maybe one day he would be on this show. There's no, hey, who knows? Who knows? This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, and I will be right back, and we're going to be right back with Les Brown. Let's see what we can do here. All righty. Les. All right, here we go. Be right back. We're going to be right back with Les Brown. All right. Stay with me. Les Brown, ladies and gentlemen, Les Brown.
Better Life Media, America's leading source for life improvement, presents Les Brown. Step into your greatness.
Thank you. Hello, how are you? How many of you have some major goals you'd like to achieve? Raise your hands, please. Very good. I know you do. That's why you showed up. I like to ask people whether or not they have goals that they'd like to achieve, and hopefully they're goals that really are worthy of your efforts and your talents. I want you to shake someone's hand right now on your right and left. Look them in the eyes and say, you have something special. I like to ask whether or not you have goals, but I want to ask you another question. How many of you know that if you had your life to live over again, you could do more than what you've done thus far? Raise your hands, please. Now, that proves a point, that what we do and what we accomplish in life is only a tip of the iceberg of what's possible for us. So I want you to think about some goals that you'd like to achieve, and I'd like for you to, let's say, break them up in three categories. Number one, I want you to think about some personal goal you'd like to achieve. And I'd like for you to think about some career goal, some business goal that you'd like to achieve. And what do you think about some social contribution, some impact you'd like to make with your life? It was Horace Mann who said, we should be ashamed to die until we've made some major contribution to humankind. I believe we live in the greatest country in the world that gives us an opportunity to leave our mark, to make a statement with our lives. And as you think about these goals, whatever those goals are, I want you to dramatically increase those goals. And I want to warn you, I don't want you to think about how you're going to do it. How is none of your business. The most important thing is just to increase those goals dramatically. I've found that most people fail in life, not because they aim too high and miss. Most people fail in life because they aim too low and hit. And many don't aim at all. So raise the bar on yourself. And don't ask how you're going to do it. I'll never forget when I decided that I wanted to become a motivational speaker. I saw the late Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, and my heart said, I can do that. But my mind asked the question, how? And for over 14 years, I would go see Zig Ziglar and Dr. Norman Vincent Peale and Jim Rohn and different speakers, and I would be in the audience, and my heart would pounce and say, you can do that, you can do that, Les. And then when I would leave, I would be going to the parking lot, and my mind said, how are you going to do it? And I spent so many years trying to figure out how. I wasted 14 years. How many of you ever procrastinated? Raise your hands, please. Yeah, see, so as you begin to think about your goals, the most important thing is, and write this down, commit yourself. See, once you commit yourself, the how will come. The way will come. Once you commit yourself, you will then figure it out. And if you're going in the wrong direction, all you have to do is turn around and go in the other direction. You will figure it out. You want to begin to just challenge yourself. You want to stretch yourself because you really don't know what you can't do. I never forget the first day that I met Mr. Washington. I was born in a poor section of Miami, Florida called Liberty City. I was born in an abandoned building on a floor with a twin brother. And when we were 6 weeks of age, we were adopted. And when I was in the fifth grade, I was identified as EMR, labeled educable, mentally retarded, put back from the fifth grade to the fourth grade. And I failed again when I was in the eighth grade. I don't have any college education, but because of my mother, and I feel like Abraham Lincoln, who said, all that I am and all that I ever hope to be, I owe to my mother. I saw a sign once that said that God took me from my biological mother's womb and placed me in the heart of my adopted mother. So my first major goal was to buy my mother a home, to take care of my mother. And I did that, took care of her until she passed at 88. But I'll never forget when I met Mr. Washington. I was in a class waiting on another student, and he came in and he said, young man, go to the board and work this problem out for us. I said, oh, sir, I can't do that. He said, why? I said, I'm not one of your students. He said, look at me. I said, yes, sir, go to the board and work the problem out anyhow. I said, sir, I can't do what you're asking me to do. He said, why? Sir, because I'm educable, mentally retarded, sir. And as the students erupted in laughter, he came from behind his desk, he looked at me and he said, don't you ever say that again. Someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. And that was a turning point in my life. On one hand, I was humiliated. But on the other hand, I was liberated. Because he looked at me with the eyes of Goethe, who said, look at a man the way that he is. He only becomes worse. But look at him as if he were what he could be. Then he becomes what he should be. And so Mr. Washington, he challenged me, and I want to challenge you right now about raising your goals, and I want you to shake someone's hand on your right and left, look them in the eyes, and say, stretch yourself. Yeah, see, I think that you really have to stretch yourself to discover your stuff. I think that we have to really begin to experiment with life. And I said that you have something special. I didn't say that just to be kind and courteous. You do. See, I think that there are not many people that come to seminars or workshops or will watch a program of this nature. Why? I just think that most people are just satisfied to where they are. I'm reminded of a man one day. He was walking down the street and he passed his porch where some people were on the porch talking, and there was a dog moaning and groaning. And he was curious why the dog was moaning and groaning. And he went back and he said, excuse me, he asked the owner, why is the dog moaning and groaning? The guy said, because he's laying on a nail. He said, well, why won't he get off? He said, it's not hurting bad enough for him to get off. Just hurting bad enough to moan and groan. How many of you know people who should be here? Raise your hands, please. How many of you know people all they do is moan and groan? Moan and groan. I'm not making enough money. Moan and groan. I'm unhappy with my job. 87% of people go to jobs that they hate. And in addition to that, you know, as we know that we have the dubious distinction in this country that on Monday morning, the heart attack rate increases over 35% on Monday morning between 6 o'clock and 9. People going to jobs that they hate. The heart said, didn't I tell you I didn't want to go, and attack them? Some of you don't want to go to work next Monday. So the thing is this. So you want to find out what resonates with you. What is it you really want to do? You want to experiment with life and find out what fits for you. You have something special. You have greatness within you. You have the ability to do more than you can ever begin to imagine. See, I believe that anybody through observation and practice can perform at the level of excellence. But when you're pursuing your greatness, and this is worth writing down, You don't know what your limits are, and you act like you don't have any. So I say to you, you have something special. You have greatness within you. And I want to make four things clear. Number one, everything that I'm going to say, you already know it. If what I share, the message that I'm going to express right now and share with you, if it wasn't a part of who you are already, you wouldn't be in the audience. That's number one. That's very important. It's already in you. I'm going to only confirm and validate that which is a part of you anyhow. The second thing is, everything I'm going to say to you, you've heard it before from people with college degrees and credentials I can't hold a candle to. It's common sense, but not common practice. Third thing is, I don't want you to agree with me, and I don't want you to believe me. I just want you to be open to some things right now. I want you to think beyond that which is commonly allowed. And I'm going to tell you what I'm up to. I want you to think about your goals, and I want to tell you what I'm going to do right now. My whole goal is to get past your mind. That's my whole challenge, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to do that. So your assignment was to show up. My assignment is to get past your mind and get into your heart. I want you to think about the goals that you want to achieve, and I really want to challenge you to make up your mind that you're going to make that happen for yourself. And I hope that it's some goal that really resonates with who you are. When I was a little boy, my goal was to just buy groceries for our family. My mother worked on Miami Beach. She was a domestic worker. And my goal was to really be able to go to the grocery store and purchase groceries ourselves. The families knew that my mother had adopted seven children, and so they said, Mamie, whatever food is left over after we eat, you can take that home to the children. They were very kind, very, very considerate people. My mother, who when she worked on Miami Beach, the people were very kind. I was appreciative of their generosity. But as a little boy, I said, Mama, one day, when I become a big boy, I'm going to be able to buy groceries for us. My goal as a little boy was to buy clothes for my brothers and sisters. We wore the hand-me-down clothes of the children that Mama babysat for when she went over in Miami Beach. And if the clothes were too small, she would let them out. And if they were too large, Mama could sew and take them up. And I'll never forget David Sadursky. His father was very wealthy. Mama worked for him. But David was my buddy. And so his father gave him two gifts for his birthday. Gave him a brand-new boat, but he also gave him some motivational tapes, Earl Nightingale, I'll never forget. So he said, David, man, let me tell you something. When I die, you're going to get everything. I want you to listen to these tapes. And when his father left the room, David threw those tapes in the wastebasket. I said, David, can I have those tapes? He said, yes. I said, man, your father said, if you listen to these, you can get more and do more than what he's done. He said, hey, look, I'm going to get everything anyhow. Go ahead, take them. As I told my children, I'm not leaving them anything. You know, if I had a quarter and thought I was going to die, I'd swallow it. Write this down. It's not what you leave for your children. It's what you leave in them. Not what you leave for them. What you leave in them. No, absolutely not. I'll tell you something else happened. I'll never forget. Mama came home one day and said, Leslie, David sent you a new pair of shoes his father got for him. I said, oh, Mama, thank you so much. I can't wear David's shoes. I said, why? Well, you tell my buddy that, you know, I wear size 9.5. He wears size 9. She said, boy, shut up, sit down, and put those shoes on. She said, Marianne, go get some Vaseline. And she came in there, and my sister started rubbing the Vaseline on my feet. And she said, run some water in the bathtub. And she's not going there and put your feet in those shoes and don't mash the heel down. I said, Mama, shut up, boy, don't mash the heel down. And then she had me to get in the bathtub. I said, Mama, these shoes hurt. She said, get in there and walk around in the water. And I'm walking around the bathtub. Then she tried to distract me. I knew what she was doing. How'd you do at school today? I did good. Did you get in any fights? No, ma'am. You know you fought somebody. Well, I only hit 3 people today. And then after a while, she said, how are you doing? I said, well, they hurt. Do they hurt as bad as they were before? No, ma'am, they feel a little bit better. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. And then after a while, when the leather soaked up the water, the leather began to stretch to a perfect 9.5. You think Fortune 500 companies started talking about doing more with less? My mother been doing that for a long time. It's amazing what you can do. But who would have thought, anybody looking in, on this kid and these seven children, who would have thought? And I look at you, I say, you have greatness within you. You have the ability to do more than you can ever begin to imagine. No one could have convinced me that I would be doing what I'm doing right now. You know, the easiest thing I do every year is go into a sales organization and dramatically increase their sales, or go into a prison and enable prisoners to see themselves differently and teach them the methods and techniques of how to plug into the system, or motivate young people to begin to see how they can have a vision of themselves in the future and fit. That's the easiest thing I do, or train a speaker to help them to leverage their experience as a speaker and say, look, speaking is a projection of who you are, not who you think you ought to be, and come with power from a platform. That's the easiest thing I've ever done. Let me share with you the most difficult thing I've ever done. The most difficult thing I've ever done was to believe that I can do what I'm now doing. No one could have convinced me, just given my circumstances. I earn millions of dollars every year. No one could have convinced me. If both my parents came up here right now, I would not know either one. No one could have convinced me, being labeled educable, mentally retarded, born in an abandoned building on the floor in Liberty City, poor section of Miami, Florida, failing twice in school, no college training, never worked for a major corporation. I did not know I can do what I'm doing right now. I'll never forget Mike Williams, my mentor. One, I think a lot of people fail in life because of the fact that they need some mentoring. They need some coaching. Repeat out to me, please. You need some coaching. Yeah. See, you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. I remember Mike saying, Les, you can do this. Mike, huh? Mike, how, man? Wait a minute, Mike. How much am I going to be able to charge, Mike? Less, you could start out at $1,000 an hour. Mike, I don't make that working for 2 weeks. Come on, Mike. I appreciate your belief in me, Mike. Look, Mike, I work for the Miami Sanitation Department, man. I've been a garbage collector. I've done door-to-door sales. That was great. And, you know, I'm here as a disc jockey. That's good, Mike, but Mike, I don't think I can do that. Les, you can. But Mike, I don't have any credentials. I've never written any book, anything. Man, I'm not rich. How can I teach somebody to do something I've never done? But Les, why don't you just test yourself? Why don't you stretch, Les? Come on, man. Mike, I don't know. And here's something I realize. Write this down. Sometimes you have to believe in somebody's belief in you until your belief kicks in. I respect Mike Williams. Here, this young man, he saw something in me that I didn't see it, and strong analytical mind, and I looked at him. I always respected his thinking, and he looked at me, and he made me feel special, and I said, okay, Mike, and I just kept holding on to what Mike said to me. I just kept holding on to what Mr. Washington said to me. I kept holding on to my mother saying, you're special, Leslie, when they said you're educable, mentally retarded. Mama didn't know what that meant. She only had a third grade education. So she said, he'll be all right, honey, hard head, make her soft behind. He'll be fine. But she said, you're special, baby. You are special. And they kept saying that over and over again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And so here's what I want you to do. Let us say together, as you think about your goals and your dream, let us say together, it's possible. Together, please.
It's possible.
Say it like you mean it.
It's possible.
Thank you. Write that down. See, most people never achieve their goals because most people suffer from possibility blindness. They look around trying to think about the things that they don't have. Robert Roots, young man who wrote a book about success principles of the three little pigs. He said, it's not what you don't have, it's what you think you need that keeps you from being successful or happy in life. It's not what you don't have. See, I was focused on what I didn't have. Don't have a college degree, don't have any credentials, never worked for a major corporation. I was focused on the negative things. I said, negative things are the things that you see when you're not focused on your goal. What do you come with? What is it that you have within you that you showed up to bring? Hey, Les, you don't know, but my dream is a long shot. Long shot, a friend of mine, Dexter Yeager, said, when the dream is big enough, the odds don't matter. I'm reminded of a great man. When I was reading Time magazine talking about some of the great minds of the last century, they didn't mention his name, Dr. Howard Thurman, one of the mentors of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and also an advisor to Mahatma Gandhi and Albert Schweitzer. And he said, the ideal situation for a man or woman to die is to have family members standing around their bed praying with them as they cross over. But imagine, if you will, being on your deathbed and standing around your bed, the dreams given to you by life, the ideas that you never acted on, the talents, the gifts, the abilities that you never used. And there they are, standing around your bed, looking at you with large, angry eyes, saying, we came to you, and only you could have given us life. And now we must die with you forever. And the question is, if you died this very moment, what will die with you? What dreams, what ideas, what talent, what leadership potential, what greatness that you showed up to bring, that you allowed fear or procrastination to hold you back? Perhaps that's why Henry David Thoreau wrote the words, oh God, to reach the point of death, only to realize that you've never lived, only to realize that you've never scraped the surface of your potential. Repeat after me, please, with power, feeling, and conviction. I refuse to die an unlived life. Yes, shake someone's hand on your right and left and say, live your dream. Yeah, I think we should all resolve. I refuse to die an unlived life. Don't worry about the odds. You survived one out of 40 million sperms. You will never have those odds again. You beat those odds, you can win anything. Here's something else stop most people. You know what it is? Failure. Let us say together, I will fail my way to success. Yes, write that down. I will fail my way to success. See, 8 out of 10 millionaires have been financially bankrupt. 85% of people allow their fear of failure to outweigh their desire to succeed. And I believe that the reason that most people go so far in life and stop, Maya Angelou said it best. She wrote a poem. She said that most people go so far in life and then they park. They pull off the highway of life. Especially when they get some hits, especially when they've been rejected, especially if they have an illness, especially if they lose something, they park. And I take it further. They don't even turn on their emergency lights. It's not because that they are broken down. They don't want anybody to stop and say, hey, look here, I've got some jumping cables in my trunk. You need a jump? Hey, look here. There's a service station ahead about 3 or 4 miles. I have a can. I can take you up there and get some gasoline. Oh, no, I'm just fine. I had a talk show once, and highest rated, fastest canceled talk show in the history of television. Well, at least I had one. And I was excited. You know, when the time I came into television years ago, television was based upon conflict and controversy. So I said, I want a solution-oriented talk show. First concept of that kind. High ratings. And the syndicators say, you just got lucky. Come on, let's do these other type of shows. You can be a Jerry Springer. Oh, no, that's not why I came here. No, I believe that we live in the greatest country in the world where we should hold ourselves to certain standards. I'm not going to come here and sell out on who I am. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to lower my standards for you. No, that's not why I showed up. And so they fired me. Security walked him out. I said, I can walk by myself. But let me tell you what happened. I took a hit, and I parked. It wasn't that I didn't have the ability to do more. My concept was good. But what happened when I took the hit, when they canceled the show, I canceled myself. When they said the show is going to be taken off television, it won't work, I told myself, Les, you can't succeed in television. And I parked. You know what I did? I went back to my comfort zone as a motivational speaker. At least I'm doing better than most people. That's nothing to compare yourself to worse that other people are doing and then make yourself feel better. No, I park. I didn't have my emergency lights on. I didn't want to show up on the radar. I had parked. You know how long I parked? I parked for 10 years. Do you hear me? Now, unlike Regis Philbin, when his shows were canceled, he kept going. And he got other shows. I bet you somebody gave him a push. Somebody said, hey, you need a lift. I didn't even make that an option for me. I got off the highway. I went back to my comfort zone, and I parked. The show failed, and I identified myself as a failure. And guess something happened. One day, just flipping the channels, looking at PBS, and saw Wayne Dyer, my friend Wayne Dyer. And boy, I said, Wayne, we're both in our 60s. Wayne is still doing it. Wow, the little hair he has, it's gray. He's still there. I said, hey, I've got some more stuff in me. I've got another PBS special in me. I've got some other ideas. You know, Oprah and Phil, they're doing my stuff. Maybe I need to come back out here. And I went back and started calling PBS and different people. They said, Les, what happened to you? I said, well, I didn't know whether or not anybody would be interested in me because the show was canceled. No, you had some good ideas. And when they said, yeah, we'd love to do a show with you, I said, you what? They said, yes. And when I went into the studio and people that worked with 10 years ago, they were still there. And I said, guys, you know,
yeah.
Do you guys still have it? I said, we have it. Do you have it? I said, I think so. And I did the show, and I wasn't as good as I was 10 years ago because I was off the highway. I'd gotten off the highway of life. I've been parked for so long, it's taking me some time to get my strength back, to find my power, to get my confidence back. But at least I'm back out there in the game, determined to dry empty. So I say to you, see, I only attract millionaires or millionaires in training. He's going to get that in a minute. You have something special. You have greatness within you. And the only reason you are here, you are my assignment. You can feel me. Some of you feel me right here in your heart of hearts. And my goal is to get past your mind and into your heart. So it's necessary that you have the mindset that I can do this. You've got to begin to believe and to fortify that belief and feed that belief by listening to tapes, going to seminars and workshops, by challenging yourself, by stretching yourself. It was Osborne who said, unless you attempt to do something beyond that which you've already mastered, you will never grow. And as you begin to challenge yourself, you'll discover some things about yourself that you don't know right now. The other thing is you begin to look at yourself, look at your dreams, and begin to experiment and stepping into your greatness. One of the things that's very important, whatever goals and dreams that you have, repeat after me, please. Make your move before you're ready. You have Price Pritchett, who's a great, great motivator and
Les Brown, ladies and gentlemen, Les Brown. Wilder Show, be right back.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
I hope you guys out there enjoyed Les Brown. Like I said, Les Brown was an encouragement and a motivational speaker that motivated me into writing my first book. And I always looked up to this guy. And I never met him. I didn't know him. A lot of us never met him. We read his books. Listen to his motivational speaking on PBS, and he just said he's back, and that's great. And I remember those 10 years that he was out of commission. I was wondering, what happened to Les Brown? He solely stated that after his show had ended, he went into hibernation, like he pulled off the highway for 10 years. and he's sulked because of his show failed. It failed because he did not want to be another Jerry Springer, and I don't blame him. That's garbage. That Jerry Springer is garbage, as far as I'm concerned. But he was a mentor. He was someone I looked up to, because this is true. Les Brown is the cause of me writing my first book. And after that, you know, the books just kind of kept coming. And, you know, I can say, hey, wow, he got me started with the Derek Sweat books. And now they're not, the Derek Sweat books are actually called the Groove books now. Ain't That a Groove? Back in the Groove. And the one I'm working on now, which is going to be called Down in the Groove. But Les Brown was a great guy. He is a great guy. For a minute there, I didn't hear about him for a long time. I thought he had passed away or something. But he's out there. He's out there. And I'm hoping that he's okay health-wise, because I think the last time I saw him, he was completely bald-headed. You know, because back in the day, he had a head full of hair. So I hope you enjoyed that clip. If you like it, give me some feedback and on the show, and maybe we'll have him on the show again. Hopefully this time in person or on the phone or something, live instead of a clip. But if I have to go dig out more clips of Les Brown, I will do that, because he's such a super guy, super duper guy. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's 8:37 p.m. Chicago time. Like I said before, I'm on a little later this time for some reason or other. I will find that out later. But anyway, it's a beautiful city, and the weather is kind of cooperating. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. Okay, let's move right along. Let's move right along to the next segment, maybe the final segment of the show. But actually, I want to get to this first. I do have a smart quiz question. And let me see if I can crank up this clip here. Go down. Let's see. Smart quiz. Where's the smart quiz clip? Does anybody know? Or am I seeing this? Okay, here we go. Here we go with the smart quiz. Here we go. Smart quiz.
It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George.
All right, the smart quiz questions for today, for this show, Les Brown. Actually, this is my 103rd episode. Isn't that something? And the smart quiz question is, how many senators are there from each state? Does anybody know? How many senators are there from each state? Stick around, listen to the show. I'll be back, and I will tell you the answer before the show is over. Okay, we're going to take a small break here. I will be right back, and then we'll be back with the
Big
answer
George
to the
here.
Smart
if you have
question.
A product or a book that you would like to have advertised on this show, book me up. I will run two spots on this show for you every show date for a month for only $29.99 per month. My show is airing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting at 6 p.m., 90 minutes to 2 hours. Thanks a lot.
And thank you. Okay, City College's tuition is going up. I can't say that around the United States. I can say that in Chicago here. Tuition is going up. I mean, it's not just City Colleges, but it's colleges everywhere. Universities, I mean, tuition is going up. Borrowing money to go to school is going up. To borrow money is going up, because you got to pay just to borrow money. And the best thing we can do now is probably hope for scholarships for some of our kids, you know, because if you get a scholarship, in some colleges and universities will lower your tuition if you have good grades, if you have a great GPA. Grade point average, 4.0 or something like 4.5 or something like that in the fours. If you're extra smart, extra intelligent, and your grades are just through the roof, you know, you can probably get a discount or a break on your tuition. But all of us aren't privy to that. So the colleges are going up, city colleges, universities, they're going up. I mean, and then again, you spend, and a lot of kids drop out of college because of money. They can't afford to, they can't afford it. And if you do, and if you do, and if you are lucky enough to graduate from college, if you're lucky enough, there's no guarantee you're going to get a job. At least there's no guarantee of you getting a job in the major that you've taken at a university, because there's so many college students dropping out of college and getting jobs way below what they majored in. You got people graduating from college, university, saddled with all kinds of debt. Some people takes years and years and years to pay off that debt, and they still don't pay it off. It's not paid off. You wonder if college is worth it. And I'm going to say yes, college is worth it. You will. It is a better paycheck than just having a high school diploma. That's no doubt about it. But will it lead to that dream job or that great job that you were dreaming about or studying about in college? Maybe not. Maybe not. I'm not saying don't go to college or don't attend a university. You know, I'm just saying keep your options open, because there's so many college graduates who are working at minimum wage jobs. It's true. It's true. And for colleges to constantly increase, every year increase their tuition, it's just totally unfair to students from low-income families, students who are working part-time jobs. It's just totally unfair. And the economy is in, you know, is not the best. I just heard that the majority of employers are looking for college students with job skills instead of college students with good grades. They want to know where you've worked, not what school you've gone to, not what school you have gone to. You kind of wonder, is college worth it? Yes, it is worth it. I guess you just have to be, I don't know, lucky. But it is worth it. So, you know, I mean, it's rough. It's tough. It's another venture in life. But it's one that's going to pay off eventually if you keep striving, if you keep trying to reach that goal. Obviously, things are going to be looking up. But if you give up, like Les Brown, and take and pull off that highway, you know, things may not look up so well. But you keep going, keep doing it, keep being positive. And that's what the show is all about, being keeping you motivated, keeping you positive, and keeping you on the right track, you know. And you can make it that way. You can make it that way. No one is going to walk up and give you anything. You want something, you got to go out there and get it. No one's going to knock on your door and give you $1 million because you think you deserve it. It ain't going to happen. This is a very, very competitive world. You have to compete for everything you want, because there's somebody out there who wants what you want even worse. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. It's great. It's getting dark, but it's beautiful outside. I see I have around 13 minutes left into the show. My smart quiz question is how many senators are there from each state? You got that one right. Okay, all right. Okay, great, great. Did you hear that, audience? If you didn't, I'll have the answer to that question maybe in about 5 or 6, 7 minutes or so. Okay, let's talk about some more things in the news. We talked about Bruce Rauner already. Got to save some of my vigor or viper for Bruce Rauner in tomorrow's show. Okay, tomorrow is Friday. Just like today, I'm not going to have a guest on the show. The guest will be George Wilder Jr., yours truly. But there will be a guest on the show for Saturday and Sunday. I hope you guys tune in for that. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting on the Wilder Network, WTTTY. We're going to take a small break here for another promo. In fact, if I could click it here. There we go. All right.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
Okay, WVON veteran Lucky Cordell dies days after his South Shore home was on fire, caught fire. It burned. Lucky Cordell was a DJ on WVON, African-American radio station from way back in the day. I believe from the late 60s to the 70s, he was on the radio. I mean, I used to listen to the guy. He was blowing that Motown, those Motown records. So we have to kind of give his family some condolences for that. He was 86 years old, from by all reports. So Lucky Cordell has passed away. Most people in Chicago know who he is, and they are mourning his death. Just like Herb Kent. Herb Kent is a fixture. I'm pretty sure some of you guys around the world have heard of Herb Kent. He's still around. I think he's somewhere in his 80s, if he's not approaching his 90s. But he's still on the radio. He's still on the radio. And like Les Brown says, if you're going to don't die, don't go away without contributing something to society. Leave something behind. You know, leave something positive. Leave something that people can grab onto when they say, and they will be able to say, you know, this is what he left behind, and this is what I can use to make my life better. That's all it's about. That's all it's about, is making your life better. And that's all this show is about, making your life better, making my life better. This is your show, my show, and we're going to try and keep it that way. All righty. Okay, let's talk about the shutdown briefly. Okay, the city is shut down. They're not saying it. They're calling it an impasse. They're calling it, they're saying that these guys cannot work together. And the reason why I'm harping on this shutdown is because I'm in the city. This is my city. This is Chicago. There's other things in the news also, but this shutdown just kind of overshadows everything else. And it does. It really does. It's a shutdown. And because the funding has ran out, nobody's getting paid, except for when I just said that a federal judge or some judge just ordered, St. Clair County judge ordered that Leslie Munger pay state employees. I know Bruce Rauner must be quaking in his boots because he doesn't like cause. He doesn't want anybody getting paid until they give him what he wants. And what he wants is just more cuts, more devastation, more hurt, more pain to workers of Illinois. That's what he wants. So he wants to stop payment till he can get the cut. So he doesn't want to pay you, but he wants you to give him the power to make a lot of cuts so he can't pay you later. And he's jumping all over unions. And like I said before, there are so many groups of people from different agencies and from different parts of the state that are taking this guy to court. He's being sued up his gazoo. However, he's still sticking to his guns. Some people think that he's caving in a little bit. If you saw him standing in the Capitol all by himself at that microphone and you heard him speak, you would not think that he was caving in, because like I said before, the guy sounds like a bully. You know, and frankly, I'm tired of talking about him on this show. There's other topics that I can talk about. There's other guests I would like to have on the show, and we can talk about something more meaningful than Bruce Rauner. But the thing is that I live in this state, and I don't like what he's doing or what he's trying to do or what he wants to do. and what he wants to do is hurt people. You ask these 60,000 people who work for the state of Illinois who are not getting their paychecks. I said before, one of the things you do not mess with, you do not mess with no one's money. You mess with their money, you're out of there. Apparently, when he won the governor's office, he said, I'm going to make people so damn mad, I don't care if they don't vote for me again. Oh, you ain't got to worry about that, Ronald. We will not vote for you. Matter of fact, I didn't vote for you the first time. Some people who didn't listen to me voted for you. And now they are regretting that. And it's not too late. We're just seeing how extreme this guy is, how out of touch he is, how he can't do his job. He's learning as he goes along because he's never held an office before, at least a political office. Nothing as high as governor. So all that is on his agenda is cutting and not caring and just not giving a good damn about what he's doing. This is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you enjoyed Les Brown. Maybe we can have him back, the clip back, and you know, in a near future, in a future show, you know, if you like it. I mean, give me some feedback on that. You know, what do you think about the clip? I'm just hoping there was not too many cracks in it, like there is in my voice. But, all right. So, it was interesting. Les Brown was interesting. It was beautiful. Let's see if we can find anything else to talk about besides Bruce Rauner. I will be right back. Stay with me. Donald Trump he's leading the pack. Donald Trump, a Republican candidate for president for 2016, he's leading the pack. A lot of people think he's a joke. They're laughing at him. But hey, this guy could be our next president. Isn't that scary? Isn't that scary? And the thing about him, I like that he speaks his mind. And I like that he doesn't back down, even though he could be wrong. He speaks his mind and doesn't like back down. And that's what a lot of people like about him. And that's why they're putting him over the top, over the front runner, Jeb Bush. And these are all Republicans. I'm not going to vote for any of them. But still in all, the Republican Party, they do not want Trump. And Trump done messed up the status quo for these Republicans. He is out there. He is loud. He's going to say what he says. He's going to say what he's going to saying about immigration. He's right about one thing. If he didn't bring up immigration, it would not be talking about it. Obama's not going to talk about it. He's the one who should be talking about it. Obama's not going to talk about anything. Trump brought it up, and now it's a Now it's a nationwide conversation. And that's a good thing. But Trump is a bad thing. Oh, he's toning down his rhetoric a little bit on Mexican illegal Mexican immigrants. He's toning it down a little bit because he knows he's going to need their vote. You know, he's toning it down. But in some cases, he's right. You can say the same things for, you know, for other immigrants, too. But what really got his ire was when this illegal Mexican who has been deported 5 times and, you know, and back in the United States, he finally found a gun and he shot this beautiful white girl. I mean, Trump, he felt like he was vindicated for that, you know. But we'll see how it goes. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Okay, smart quiz question. How many senators are there from each state? There's 2 senators from each state. There's 50 states, and 2 senators from each state makes that 100 senators all together around the United States. Okay? 100 senators in the United States Congress. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're just about off the air. Join me tomorrow. I will be on the show tomorrow. We should have a lively conversation tomorrow on the show. And for Saturday and Sunday, I have 2 guests. Be with me for that. They're authors. They're doing. Then we're going to have a lively conversation with these guys. Yeah, these are guys this time. Usually I have women on the show, but this time it's going to be 2 smart guys, 2 very, very great guys, authors, wonderful writers, and we're going to learn a lot from them starting on the 11th and 12th of July. So be with me for that. Stay with me for that. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to take a break right now, and I will be back. All right, here we go. Stay with me. All right, thank you for being with me. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.